Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and tonight on the line, we have back with us Elder Demetrius Smith. And how are you today, ma'am?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it is definitely our pleasure. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit about what you got going on. We know you was on the show before, you had so much going on. So what do you got going on now?
Wow, it's been a great and busy year. I think one of the things we highlighted last time was my book that I'm working on, and I'm making such good progress. I've been working on a book, and the whole concept of the book is really unmasking the spirit of depression. And I'm looking at spiritual leaders as those who have struggled with or been in some sort of conflict with this ugly spirit of depression, and really hoping to unmask it so that more people will feel confident and comfortable about getting help. I think in the church there's been such a stigma on dealing with mental illnesses and mental health-related issues that a lot of people for too long have been silent. So I've had a great opportunity the last few months of interviewing spiritual leaders across the country, and really have gathered some information that I think will help a lot of people come forth and say, you know what, that's me. I'm dealing with that same thing. And so hopefully creating an opportunity for more people to just should come forth and get help for the ugly depression issues that we have, specifically in the church.
Absolutely. I'm not sure why it's such a taboo among some of our people, you know, some of the people in the church, that's not what we do, so to speak. But, you know, God is a healer of everything, and even that. So
yes.
I'm reminded that, you know, one of the apostles was a doctor. So if that was back then, so why not now? You know, it's so important to get help in everything. You know, every aspect
it
of our
is.
Life is very important.
Boo started years ago when there were so many people who were dealing with schizophrenia, and some of the mental illnesses were hereditary, so to speak. Some were drug-induced, and just a lot of different challenges, and there was sort of a shame. You know, when you had that one relative that may have been suffering from mental illness, you kind of hid that person away until company left. And I think when it came to the forefront, more and more people in the church found themselves unable to hide. And so I've been spending some time talking with psychiatrists and psychologists, and they tell me that more and more in private practice, they have more people with faith thinking that there was something to be ashamed of. So it's interesting how we can unmask this taboo issue and make it just like any other illness that we go to the doctor for or seek prayer for, you know. So I've been so fortunate and blessed to have been a part of this journey so far, and I have learned so many things. So I can't wait to share them next year when my book comes out.
Oh, great. And give us that title again of the book.
Well, I'm still holding a title, waiting on my publisher to give me the final okay, but right now it's called Creeping Vine, Unmasking the Spirit of Depression in the House of God.
Oh, okay. Looking forward to that book coming out. And Elder Smith, you have a mentoring program?
Yes, I've worked for the last few years with a number of young ladies across the state of Texas and a few other states where I've got mentees that have relocated and have really focused on helping to build mentoring programs and doing a little bit of coaching among mentors about some effective mentoring techniques. And one of the things that some of the people that I've dealt with have told me is that they've had a hard time balancing mentorship and friendship. And so a lot of times you get so close to the people that you mentor, the lines get blurred. And so just helping to maintain compassion, but to be able to be an effective mentor. And sometimes you get so close to somebody, they don't share as much because they don't want you to think a certain way about them. And it sort of puts a deficit in the mentoring relationship when you lose focus of the purpose of the relationship. So that's one of the things I've been helping to create in a lot of the programs that I've been coaching, is really to how to keep those mentoring relationships effective and set goals, and then to follow up on those milestones as you move through the mentoring relationship. Now, that a lot of the relationships, those people, once the mentoring relationship sort of officially ends, then you have this evolving friendship or furthering relationship, and that's okay. But have you ever had a mentor and you find out, you go to see your mentor and you really stop talking about the reason you went to see them to begin with, and you sort of start hanging out, and then you find yourself a year or 2 years later in the same place thinking, I thought I was going to grow from this. And then you end up blaming the mentor for your lack of growth or the mentee, when actually the lines end up getting blurred and you lose focus of the whole purpose of the mentoring relationship.
Okay. So in all actuality, the mentoring relationship need to actually just remain a total business-like relationship?
Not totally, but I think if you keep the focus on the purpose of the mentoring and allow everything else to evolve naturally and don't lose the focus of the mentoring relationship because everything else has evolved, you'll have a more effective relationship in both cases.
Okay. Now, should the mentor set the ground rules for the relationship from the beginning, or how would that happen? How should the mentor approach the mentee from the onset of beginning the relationship?
That's a really good question, because I have a lot of people that have approached me about becoming their mentor. And one of the things that I did early on was really not find out what it was they were looking for. They saw me, for instance, in ministry or in a particular area and thought, I want to be like you. And so I guess we didn't really set a lot of structure around what is it that you want to do. So one of the things I do, and I send out a questionnaire to those potential mentees, and I cover three critical areas. What are your personal goals? What are your professional goals? And if this is a ministry type of mentee, what are your ministry goals? And a lot of times I realize after getting those questionnaires back, I'm not the right person. You might like me as a person and we might have good rapport, but for what you're trying to accomplish, I'm not the right person. And then I refer them to somebody that I think would be a better mentor in the area that they want to strengthen. And I think that's the key thing, is just because someone wants to be your mentee does not mean that you are qualified to mentor them. And so to understand where that relationship needs to go, and I take it very seriously. I don't haphazardly say, oh, yeah, I'll be your mentor, so what do we do now? You know, I really try to put some structure around it. And then if there's a person after the questionnaire that I decide we talk about it, you know, this is going to be something that I think will be effective. Then we began to look at time frames. You know, if their goal is something we can put a SMART goal to and attach a time, we say, when do you want to have this accomplished? And so we set these milestones along the way. We set how we're going to communicate, because I think that that's the other piece is you kind of just, you know, play it by ear, but, you know, we want to talk by phone once a week. You know, if you're a texter, we text when we need to. But we set some structurizations in between our touch bases or our casual conversations so that we can really measure, are we making progress or are we just really finding out that we really just like each other, you know? So I think it's important to set some structure, allow the personalities to evolve, but to never lose sight of or take, you know, take for granted, here's an opportunity to really pour into somebody's life, and I want to make sure I'm doing it as effectively as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense to make sure the lines, as you say, don't become blurred, but to keep the mentee focused and the reason why they ask you to be their mentor or you chose to be their mentor. Now tell us a little bit about your reading camp for the homeless.
I just finished, I'm glad you asked me, I just finished a summer session. I do it quarterly, and I started out doing it once a year, and it was only during the summer. And I found it was really just by demand, really, the way it came about. I had a few people that I was working with that were associated with homeless organizations, and there were people in the organization that could not read. And so I started doing some skills training one summer as an added session to what they were already doing for their homeless ministry. And I found that in several parts of the city, there were pockets of people who needed some sort of skills training. And so I started offering these camps or workshops that were anywhere from 2 days to 7 days long. And I found that there were not only homeless men and women, but there were homeless children who started coming to these camps, and I was just teaching basic reading skills. Well, then it expanded last year when I had a couple of teachers that were teaching at a local college who said, you know, we want to volunteer our time. And both of these teachers spoke a second language. One was Chinese and one was Vietnamese. And so I started offering these workshops in these two additional languages, I'm sorry, Vietnamese and Spanish. I just recently added a Chinese. Started offering these workshops for homeless to low-income people in these additional languages. And it just grew from there. And so this year I had a really big turnout this summer where I did a week-long camp in Duncanville for a group of people. And it was not just learning to read, but it was also English as a second language. And so now I'm helping to work with different bookstores to build those types of programs into what they already offer in their store, but offer it on a smaller scale to local people who might need that type of assistance.
Wow. Now, is that free? Is that assistance free?
It is free. It is free. And my point of contact has been a bookstore in Duncanville called Buy the Book. And so we've had all of the registrations go through Buy the Book when we started. And so now we're just growing it, and we'll be publicizing how which community it will be in via internet blast and blog shows like yours, as well as flyers in the local bookstores, so that the community is aware that my bookstore offers this. And I've just targeted bookstores because the resources are already in the house, both the books and the computers and all of that, just to make it easier.
Wow, that's fantastic. That is really great to offer that service to homeless individuals and especially the children. That's really great. It's like having school after school. That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
And now in 2016, you'll be creating a job program.
Yeah, there's a program that I'm working on now. I'm working with local businesses and even some national businesses to try to continue to offer skills training. I'm also working with Texas Workforce. I've been doing that for a couple of years. And my focus is finding employment and resources for people that have felony records. And there are a lot of programs that currently exist, but what I found is that there's no follow-up afterwards. So some of the positions that they might be able to get, either they're missing a benefits component or they're missing some other components. And so we're continuing additional skills training beyond even getting employment so that once a particular person gets a job, how can they move up in that position or how can they continue to grow themselves? Because a lot of times you get the job as a felon, you really need it to just survive, but it still is not necessarily gainful employment. So I'm really focusing on helping them to become more independent. And I'm hoping to partner with more people that are already doing it and to just add this additional component and get more businesses involved that might be able to offer employment for people that have certain types of felony convictions. Because I know that's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you offer, now with this particular program, how do you get the students, how do you get the people, how do they come to you?
Most of them will be sourced through Texas Workforce because that's a model that's already in place. And we will just add different businesses to that, different job fairs, different workshops that offer skills training. And then we'll kind of make that the hub for central resources. There's really no reason to create something in addition to that since that's a model that's already in place. And for the most part, it's working.
Wow, that's great. I see you have so much that you do within the community, and that's fantastic. We definitely applaud you for being so active in your community. That's really great. And your upcoming book, I'm excited about that. So, Elder Smith, if you don't mind just sharing with our listening audience how they can connect with you and how they may be able to contact you.
I still don't have my book website up yet because I haven't had a lot of time to focus on that. I've been doing mostly writing, and I'm one of those kind of people, I really don't want to put it up for the sake of just having it. But I am on Facebook at Demetra Smith, and so that's probably a pretty common platform that people can reach me at. And then my email address is demiinfo@yahoo.com, demiinfo@yahoo.com.
Great. Well, Elder Smith, it's definitely been our pleasure having you on OPM Live Block Talk Radio once again, and great work. And everything that you do, we thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
it's definitely
you so
a
much.
Blessing having people like you that are so involved in the community and doing such great things. That is a blessing for any community to have a person like you that works so diligently serving others. That is definitely
it's not enough. So, you know, no matter what, it's still not enough. But I'm really glad that I have the opportunity and the connections to be able to do it because it's really necessary. So I'm honored to do it. Thank you so much for having me.
No, and it's definitely been our pleasure. It's definitely been our pleasure having you on OPM Live Block Talk Radio.
Thank you.
And thank you. And leaving you with this, coming from 2 Timothy, the first chapter in the 9th verse, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And that's 2 Timothy, the first chapter in the 9th verse. This has been OPM Live Blog Talk Radio, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and closing with our closing song, Release the Sound, by Mr. John Murray, and be blessed.
We sanctify. We sanctify.
We use.
your praises,
beyond.